Father, we realize how wonderful and great the plan of salvation is for us. The Lord Jesus Christ was willing to leave heaven's glory and come to this earth as the God-man to go to the cross and bear the sins of the world. We're the recipients of grace, salvation grace, living grace, dying grace. We're thankful that you provided for us everything we need in life, that we can have joy and peace on a day-by-day basis. We thank you for the blessings which you've given to us individually and to our church collectively. You've been so good to all of us, and we appreciate so very much your wonderful blessings. Guide us through this day, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 145, 18, 19. The Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear Him. He also will hear their cry and save them. Psalm 145, 18, and 19. The Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear Him. He also will hear their cry and save them. Psalm 145, 18, 19. Luke 12, 37. Blessed are those servants whom the Master, when He comes, will find watching. Luke 12, 37. Blessed are those servants whom the Master, when He comes, will find watching. Luke 12, 37. 1 Chronicles 22:16. We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. 1 Chronicles 22:16. We are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. 1 Chronicles 22:16. Children, would you please stand for Bible class? We'll ask you to turn in your Bibles, please, to Daniel chapter 3, verse 1. Daniel chapter 3, verse 1. Our purpose for being here today, as always, is to turn our attention away from the distractions of the world and focus our minds upon the eternal Word of God. You and I are blessed individuals indeed. We have been given the magnificent truth of God's Word. We have the Bible, the completed canon of Scripture. Not only do we have the completed canon of Scripture, but we've been given the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We live in a magnificent day. We live in the age of grace. This is the church age, the age between Pentecost on the one hand and the rapture of the body of Christ on the other hand. What a wonderful time to be alive. We're coming to the end of 2019. In just a short period of time, we'll be moving into 2020. Most of us are aware of the fact that the Lord has blessed our church in a magnificent way. We're now in the process of the beginning of year 45. That simply means that in 1975, the Lord led the beginning of this congregation. And we're thankful, so very thankful, for the way that He has blessed us over these years. One of the things that has grabbed my attention in recent days is that the lost will be evangelized when believers are well trained. I'm sure that you'll have to think about that for a little bit. There's more to it than just those words. Over the last few days, we've emphasized the fact that God has blessed this area with an increased population. And we're aware of the fact that in the next couple of years, this area will grow tremendously. We've been told that many houses are being planned to be built in the year 2020 and 2021. We believe that God has a magnificent and wonderful plan for this church. We're aware of the fact that there's a possibility that some people don't even know we exist. So we're trying to change that. We're aware of the fact that there are people who do not know that the messages that are proclaimed from this pulpit are not out there where people can hear them. You and I know that, but we're trying to get that message out also. So in coming weeks, we're going to have information that will be available that simply says that Grace Bible Church does exist. This little card or someone similar to it will be made available for you to allow other people to be aware that we do exist. Grace Bible Church of Baytown with our website. We invite you to visit our website and hope you find it to be an excellent resource for free, straight, and true biblical concepts updated regularly. You can find categorized studies in both audio MP3 and textual PDF format, and some sermons in MP4 video format. I used to think that that was language in Hebrew or Greek, and find out that that's modern language for us today. This card says, feel free to check out the latest sermons from our most recent sermon series. We also have two excellent mini-series, 2016 Growing Believers Class and Believers Toolbox, an overview, in fact. You can browse all our Bible studies at any time you wish. And thank you for visiting our website. This type of card or one similar to it will be made available to you so that you can make it available to other individuals. We've been pleased indeed and magnificently happy about the wonderful response of people listening to our messages from this pulpit over the last weeks and months and years. God is good to us, and we thank Him for that. Are you happy about the fact that this kind of information can be presented out there? I'm sure all of you are aware of the fact that the Lord always takes care of things. I could stand here and enumerate name. Won't do that. Because the people involved would be embarrassed, and no one wants to be embarrassed by the pastor calling them by name and giving words of appreciation and thanks. We do this as unto the Lord. And so we're thankful for it. I told you a few weeks ago that if this area grows to 150,000 population, 200,000, in a few years, perhaps even 300,000, I'm not sure. The Lord will probably have Joyce and me in heaven at that time, but we'll check on you to see how you're doing. Not really. But I've concluded that there's a possibility that when you have a large population, that in that population of 200, 300, 400, 500,000 people, there could possibly be 2% of those who are Bible-loving, perceptive individuals. I have no way of knowing that for sure. But it'd be wonderful. And if that be true, then you and I need to be aware of the fact that we need to get ready for that kind of advance and growth. That's the reason why this statement, the lost will be evangelized when believers are well trained. In 1975, when this church started, the goal and the desire of the pastor was for people to know Jesus Christ as Savior, and then those who know Jesus Christ as Savior love Him supremely, love His Word, and be able to advance and grow in grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I believe that so many of you have done that over the years, and I appreciate that so much. There's also always the danger of forgetting the source. That's the title of our message today. Before we begin, may we pray together, please. Father, we're thankful for the opportunity to communicate your word. You have blessed all of us richly, and we thank you for it. Not only have you saved us by your grace, but you have blessed us magnificently. We have the opportunity to advance spiritually, to love the Lord Jesus Christ supremely, to receive spiritual fuel for the soul, to metabolize the truths of your word and share that magnificent truth with others. We thank you for your blessings. Help us never to be guilty of the danger of forgetting the source. Bless us now in these moments of study. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In Daniel chapter 3, verse 1, we discover some unique words. I will take my Bible and open, please, as you take your Bible and you open, please. Daniel chapter 3. An interesting thing is taking place. Nebuchadnezzar, the king, made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits, the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura, in the province of Babylon. In the 3rd chapter of the book of Daniel, we find God's power in delivering Daniel's 3 companions from the fiery furnace. Most Bible students have been across this many times. So there are some things that will be said today with which you are very familiar. There will be some things said that may be new to you. In this chapter, we find God's power in delivering Daniel's three companions from the fiery furnace. These men stood up alone against a nation with a calm assurance that God would deliver them. Yet adding, "But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve other gods, nor worship the golden image." This event takes place after they had been in Babylon about 20 years, and God was demonstrating in his most dramatic way his power over all of the gods of this country. Before we get to the furnace of blazing fire in Daniel 3:11, let us note the pride of the king Nebuchadnezzar, who was normally a great and wise king, but one who could not handle the prosperity of prominence, resulting in becoming power mad. Not content with ruling the greatest empire of the day, he attempted to force religious internationalism on the people. God's first condemnation of internationalism is found in Genesis, the 11th chapter, the first 9 verses. If this is coming as a startling shock to you, please just relax and let your mind stay in a position where you can continue to listen. God's first condemnation of internationalism is found in Genesis chapter 11, verses 1 through 9. When we come to that place, we see that men constructed the Tower of Babel, and God destroyed it. What's amazing is that when you go to the book of Revelation, chapter 17, the first verses from 1 through 14, we find another great push of international religion and its destruction, which will occur during the time of the tribulation. When we look at Daniel chapter 3, verse 1, which we read a few moments ago, we see the king in the province of Babylon, in the plain of Dura, setting up a golden monument, an image, 9 feet wide, 90 feet high. It was made of gold. It has been said that the amount of gold involved would have been as much as 4 million pounds. Perhaps at that time, around $2 billion plus. There had to be fantastic wealth in Nebuchadnezzar's empire, but also extreme egotism. We find that presented to us in chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. The lust of this king is insatiable. He demanded admirers to come and view his display of wealth, to come and view his display of power. It is not money that is the problem, but the love of money, which is, the scripture says, the root of all kinds of evil. We find that in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10. We must realize that sin always results when there's false motivation of acquisition or pride of possessions. Sometimes I'm aware of the fact that when I make statements like that, it can be like water on a duck's back. It just hits, runs off, and drops by, and never fully comprehended. when there is false motivation of acquisition or pride of possession, we realize that that's the sin that always results. You will notice that representatives of every category of leadership have been brought to the festivities, but we discover that Daniel was not present. Daniel was not present. We see that in Daniel chapter 3, verse 2 and verse 3. And when you get to Daniel 3, verse 4, it reveals that thousands of people from all walks of life assembled on a great plain, and eyes were turned toward that brilliant golden image, sparkling in the sun. The Babylonian band was on hand with its many categories of instruments. We love and appreciate our instruments. Daniel chapter 3, verse 5. But notice when we get to Daniel chapter 3, verse 6, emotion and compromise is presented. We're beginning to see now physical prostration without mental assent. This tells me something. It tells me that religion always stresses the outer superficialities of ritual and conformity, while Christianity emphasizes the inner mental attitudes. Nebuchadnezzar now is demanding here that the people obey his choice, his volition, his voice, and God does not tamper with our personal freedom of choice in spiritual matters. When you find your way into Daniel chapter 3, verses 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12, you will discover that these verses reveal that there were those who represented the fact that four of the highest officials in the land had been given to the Jews who had been hostages of the captivity. Perhaps I should date you with this situation. Remember that in 606 B.C., at the first invasion of Jerusalem, about 50 teenagers of the royal line of Judah were taken as hostages in order to assure the southern kingdom's loyalty to the Chaldean Empire. I appreciate the way you're listening. Four of these included Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. These are interesting names. Most of you have gone across these names in past years. When you go to Daniel 3:13, Nebuchadnezzar's rage is manifested. When you look in Daniel 3:14 and 15 and 16, these believers now recognize their deliverances rested with the sovereignty of God. We must realize always that our deliverance rests in the sovereignty of God. In Daniel chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, there's recognition of divine authority. Here are individuals who are saying, if we live or if we die, God is in charge. If we live or if we die, either way, it's okay. When I look at Daniel 3, 20 through 23, those individuals throwing these believers into the flames were also wiped out. I'm jumping, but I know that you know enough about the story to see where we land when we jump. In Daniel chapter 3, verse 24, as the king watched the execution, the band became silent. And to their astonishment, it had to be, in my opinion, shock. When I looked at Daniel chapter 3, verse 25, I read, "Lo, I see four men loosed and walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." I love to preach. I love it when I have two sessions like today. I told Joyce this morning I would like to just start the first session and let you stay with me until we get all the way to the end and no break. But I'm aware of the fact that you don't treat people that way. You love the break. When the phone call came that the money had been sent for the barbecue for tonight and they didn't get it and we had no barbecue, I was aware that you don't like not having a meal. I've been around you folks so long that I realize that you love to eat. I've loved to hear you sing. And I'd even love to hear you eat. I'd rather hear you sing than eat. What I've discovered in this magnificent scripture is that when all of this was taking place, down here, verse 25 says, "Lo, I see four men, and they're loose, and they're walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is the Son of God." So I put it down, Jesus in the furnace. I put it down, Daniel 3:25. Oh, what do we see? We're seeing now the presence of Jesus Christ. It's amazing, indeed, to turn through the pages of God's Word and find the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ over and over and over again. Starting out with Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and take your way all the way from page to page to page throughout the Old Testament into the New Testament. And what do you find? You find Jesus on every page. Jesus' presence in the furnace. It's amazing indeed to turn through the pages of the Bible and find the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. We find His presence throughout the Old Testament. And when you find His presence in the Old Testament, in theological terms, these are called theophanies. You already have that word down in your vocabulary. If you don't, please put it there. Theophanies. In this great third chapter of Daniel, we find three believers with maximum truth residing in their souls, facing death. They were right in their souls, and they were happy even under these unusual circumstances. What I've discovered over the years is that I've been with people whom I love so dearly, and they face all kinds of problems and heartaches, and I've seen them even in the midst of all of these problems and sorrow and difficulties, I've seen them happy. Deep down in their souls, happy. You know why they were happy? They were happy because they had something in their souls. we're careful here to answer. Nebuchadnezzar, in this matter, divine viewpoint had permeated their souls, these three, thinking that they were reckless. Oh, no. They were cognizant of the fact that the king could snuff out their lives by one command, yet they were not afraid. I've jotted in my notes at this point what you really are. What I am is what we think. Proverbs 23:7 declares, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." I would encourage you to write somewhere Proverbs 23:7. "For as one thinks in his mentality of the soul, heart, cardia, so he is." The scripture tells us in Exodus, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Exodus 23. The scripture settled the issue for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And they did not desire to flatter the king or even appeal to him for mercy. They simply stated the facts. It's found in Daniel 3:17. Let me read it to you. "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace." Notice those words. Daniel 3:17. These are individuals whose souls are permeated with the truth. "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king." Are you listening? But look at verse 18 of Daniel 3. "But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we're not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you've set up." Now that is powerful indeed. Not ashamed. What I decided when I looked at this is these men understood divine laws of God's established in relationship to choice, volition, in relationship to subjects that you and I have learned about in these last 44 years. We've learned about marriage, a divine establishment. We've learned about family life, a divine establishment. We've learned about nationalism. They considered duly established authority, number one. They also understood all of these various presentations from the Word of God, and they respected God's Word. When I looked at this, I put down one word, wow. They viewed things from a divine vantage point. They knew that the state did not have the right to force religion on its citizens, nor the believers the right to force principles on the state, because they could see from a vertical viewpoint. Please notice that viewpoint rested entirely upon their Heavenly Father. They did not try to earn or deserve deliverance, or even to coerce or bribe God. They were content for Him to determine their future. Are we content to allow God to determine our future, rather than for us trying to give God instructions on what we think He wants or should want us to do? 1 Peter 4:19 says, "Therefore let those who suffer according to the will of God entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right." That's amazing to me. Did you see what I just read? 1 Peter 4:19, "Therefore let those who suffer according to the will of God entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right." Wow. When I look at this, I see these are fantastic Jewish believers. What did they know? I put it down, they knew God. And they knew that God determines life. And that God determines death. Psalm 31:15a says, "My times are in thy hand." You ought to write that one down. "My times are in thy hand." These three men did not try to save themselves. There's no mincing of words here. No double talk. No attempt to flatter a furious king. What they said was, "We will not serve nor worship the golden image." That's determination. When you go to Daniel chapter 3, verse 19, it shows how miserable and unhappy Nebuchadnezzar was. Nightmares at first had kept him awake. Then when things changed for him, pride took over. He had opportunity for genuine peace and joy and happiness when Daniel presented him the gospel after seeing God's power manifested so greatly in the third chapter, verses 46 to 48. The question I have is, what is it that makes a difference between happiness and misery? What is it that makes a difference between happiness and misery? Here we see a king not right with the Lord, minus truth, not oriented to God's plan for life, miserable. On the other hand, we see these three guys facing death with maximum soul food saturating their souls, as happy as they could be. Now in Daniel 3:19, we find an enraged, furious king with abnormal facial contractions, a violent mental attitude, ruled by emotions. He got his best soldiers and laid their lives on the line because of his muddled, confused, perplexed mind. Needless, death comes to these great soldiers because of sloppy thinking of a national leader. Daniel 3:20, 21, 22. Stop. Stop on Daniel 3:23. The men who were cast Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego into the furnace were killed by the tremendous heat. Did you see? I didn't say Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were killed. I said the men who threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the furnace were killed by this tremendous heat, while the prisoners were not harmed. The scripture reveals very vividly their hands and feet had been tied, but not for long. No one can see this without seeing God's power. No, we cannot stop here. Look, when you look at Daniel 3, 24, 25, 26, no burned bodies, no burned bodies, no singed hair, no clothes destroyed, not even the smell of fire. The king said, "You are servants of the Most High God." May we pray together, please. There's so much for us to see, Father, in your word. It's dangerous to forget the source. We've been made to realize again today that we have a responsibility as believers to love the Lord Jesus Christ supremely and to obey His will. As we come to the close of this service, we are aware of the fact that there may be someone listening today who's never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. This could be the most wonderful, the most blessed time of their lives to make that most important decision to accept the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. It was Jesus Christ who said, "I am the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life." It was God who loved us. It was Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, the pre-existent Christ, who became the existent Christ, who is the eternal Christ, who left God's glory and came to the earth to go to the cross to bear our sins. Salvation is by faith alone in Christ alone. We pray that there will be those at this very moment to trust you. We thank you over and over again for your matchless love and grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. See you in 15 minutes.